This episode of H10 is brought to you by RockCore Japan. RockCore rewards your 4 hours of volunteer work with an exciting music concert. As a matter of fact, RockCore Japan had their concert in Japan on September the 1st, and I got to talk with Stephen Green, the CEO of RockCore, the very next day, so we're going to tell you a little bit about that later on in today's show. Check out RockCore at rockcore.yahoo.co.jp. Also, check out at Being Kansai on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube for news and information about the Kansai region of Japan. 20 years of living in Japan is a long time, long enough to write a book. That's what Australian writer Simon Rowe has done. His new release, Goodnight Papa, Short Stories from Japan and Elsewhere, is available in paperback and Kindle versions on Amazon and at his website, mightytales.net. This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that keeps putting ex-managers in the front office. I'm your host, T-Ray. Today is September the 13th, and this is episode 86. Welcome to the show! Getting back to what I just talked about, we now currently have Yutaka Wada. Speaking of 86, he used to be number 86 when he was manager. He is the senior advisor, and we also have Masayuki Kakefu as our senior executive advisor. He was the farm manager until the end of last season, and so we keep plugging guys in there, and I can't help but wonder if a certain number 6 might end up there sometime soon. Let's kind of hope so. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, that would be very interesting. I think we've talked off and on here about Kanemoto not being manager anymore. So I don't know what capacity would he be slotting into there.
I don't really care. Just get him off the bench. Kanemoto, but just so everybody knows, this is currently year one of a 3-year contract for Kanemoto. So as long as they honor the contract, he'll be in until the end of 2020. But you never know, something could happen in the meantime. Yeah, I mean, with Kakefu, I don't think it was the plan to dismiss him at the end of 2017, and that came kind of suddenly, and they said, hey, look, we still value you, let's put you in the front office. But I don't mind if we have a number 6 in the front office no longer wearing a uniform. Sorry, that was just a way to get us into today's show, everybody, and we are going to look at what's been going on. We've got an interview to listen to, and we've also got some news, and we're going to talk about the dream team, Kanemoto style, so we'll catch you all in a bit. So, Jake, the last time that we talked, we were right at the end of August, and as we recorded, or maybe soon before we recorded, a game that was in progress, the Tigers, I think, were down 4-1, got called due to rain, much to our good fortunes. So, I'm going to tell everybody, and you can chime in as well, about what happened in the two games after that against the Bay Stars, which, were also played at Koshien Stadium. The first game was September the 1st on Saturday, and we actually got treated to a Fukudome show. He got the opening RBI single. He hit a bases-clearing double, which also cleared himself because Yamato threw the ball way west of catcher. And then he hit a home run later in the game. So the Tigers won 8-3, and Yosuke Okamoto, whom we acquired from the Cebu Lions at the start of the season, picked up his first win as a Hanshin Tiger. Pretty good, pretty impressive win, 8 runs, but that was just the start of good things to come, was it not?
Yeah, man, talk about Fukudome. That was a great game. Watching him chug around the bases there for that, pseudo inside the park home run was great. He seemed pretty winded after it, but most players who get an inside the park home run are. But thank you, Yamato. It's nice to see you contributing to your former team's good fortunes.
You love us.
Yeah, yeah, and so he was part of the hero interviews for that night. It was great. I mean, man, the guy's getting it done even at his advanced age, and we love seeing it. So keep it up, Fukudome. And they carried that momentum right into the next game, which I'll let you. You were at that game,
I was. Believe,
so I'll let you talk about that one too. Yeah.
Yeah, so as part of the H10 Kickstarter campaign, one of our sponsors, Stephen Green from RockCore, whom we're going to hear from a little bit later in the show, I went with him. He sponsored me to the point where I was obliged, or I was allowed, to take him to a game. And so we went to this one, and the Blue Goat made his season debut, September 2nd season debut. That tells you something. But anyhow, he was pretty good through 5 1/3 innings, I believe, and his only damage was a 3-run home run at the expense of Neftali Soto, who's really on fire. I would love for us to pick up a foreign hitter like him. Anyhow, other than that, it was all Hanshin. This game ended up being 12-3. We got 3 sac fly runs. We got 1 more run on a ground out. But that just tells you how many guys we were putting on base and how much pressure we were putting on the Bay Stars all night. Yokawa hit a home run that was then reviewed, and in fact, it hit the bar at the top of the fence and caromed back onto the field. So it ended up being called a bar rule triple. I don't know why it was called a triple instead of a double, but maybe it's because I think on the actual play, before they called it dead or whatever, I think Yokawa was already on his way to third or something like that. Anyhow, 12-3 win, big win. So we take 2 straight against the DeNA Bay Stars. Those poor Bay Stars just can't find a way to beat us. And, you know, not that I have a problem with that. I mean, it's nice to beat up on a team, but we are now 14-5 against them on the year. Unbelievable.
And Imanaga, too, he was a starter in this one, right?
Yes.
I mean, he is just toast this year. I mean, yep. I don't know what happened, but...
Must be an elbow or something.
Yeah, we're taking good advantage of it, yeah. So, like you said, we're just beating up on the Bay Stars, beating up on Imanaga, beating up on all the pitchers who gave us fits in the past. And,
yep.
Hey, you know, I'll take it. We need to beat up on someone, like we've said before on this podcast.
Yep.
And if it's the Bay Stars, then it's the Bay Stars. Sorry, guys. But yeah, great short series sweep there, which was wonderful to see. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 more against them, 4 of which are at Koshien. But let's move on then in our recap session. We next played a 3-set against the Hiroshima Carp in Hiroshima, a place that we are historically terrible.
Yep. Quite nervous about us going into this one, but it didn't turn out as badly as we thought it would be. It actually had some really great offense by the Tigers, but unfortunately we didn't see that in the first game. Game number one, we send Randy Messenger up against Chris Johnson. Not really any spectacular offense in this one, especially from the Tigers. I think Hiroshima hit 1 home run in this one.
Yep.
But yeah, unfortunately we lose this one in as extra innings go.
Yeah.
We have it tied 4-4 into the 12th, and we actually don't put up any more offense in the top of the 12th. So the best we could do at that point is a tie. Dolis, unfortunately, allows a base runner or two, maybe just the one, but there was a runner on third.
Yeah.
With 2 outs for Kikuchi, who hits a liner to right field to bring home the run and walk it off for the Carp. So we lose this one 4-5 on the walk-off. A bummer, but, you know, it wasn't a complete trouncing, so you sort of look for the positive in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and so you just sort of pick yourself up, dust yourself off, go into the next game. But in the next game, game number 2, we get our revenge. We send Iwasada against Kuri, and this one is an 11-3 pounding by the Tigers. So right off the bat, top of the first, bases loaded, Yokawa grounder brings 1 run in. And then Oyama, our man Oyama, comes up and drills a 3-run home run. So we take a 4-0 lead early on. Iwasada gives up 2 right back with a 2-run home run in the bottom of the first. But aside from 1 other home run to Maru, I believe it was later on in the game,
mm-hmm.
he really buckled down. His line for the night was seven innings pitched, 3 earned runs on those 2 home runs with 7 strikeouts. The offense for the Tigers adds some late runs, a lot of late runs. Itohara, Umeno, and Navarro all contribute again for the 11-3 win. So that was great. We really pound them. And then if that was the injury, game 3 was the insult that we added to it. So we win game 3 13-3. So we really pound them.
Yep.
We got offensive contributions from just about everyone. RBIs from Hojo, Ito, Yokawa hit a home run. Oyama, Shunsuke, Fukudome, Haraguchi hit a 3-run bomb too. Talk about Haraguchi, man. I mean, this guy as a pinch hitter is, I believe now, 1 hit away from tying the Tigers' record, which is held by Hiyama, if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly right.
Yeah, so he has been contributing incredibly well. Saiki pitched well too. 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run, 9 strikeouts. So he did really well. Tigers relievers gave up two other runs, but not a big deal when you consider what the offense did. So we really just give Hiroshima a kicking in this one, win the series 2-1. So that was just great all around. I've got no complaints with a show like that. I'm sure you don't either.
Nope.
And yeah, we just really just do much more than you would expect, especially at Matsuda Stadium. And yeah, just great series win overall.
Well, not only that, but Hiroshima was coming into this one quite on fire. I think, in fact, including the first game of this series, they had won 7 straight. And we contributed to begin their 6-game losing streak. So a few things that we can talk about in this series. First of all, the very first game, Randy was on the mound, and he coughed up one lead, and then another reliever, I think it was QG, coughed up another lead, and then Dolis, ended up costing us the game at the end. And so our pitching kind of didn't come through. I don't think it was so much our hitting. I mean, like, 4 runs is normally not enough against Hiroshima, but I think if our pitching had been really sharp, it would have been enough in that first game. The next thing is the very next game, a few things of note. First of all, it was Iwasada's 27th birthday. So happy birthday to him. So he got a birthday win. Not only that, it was his first ever win against the Hiroshima Carp. So it took him long enough. I think somebody had said it was like 18 tries or something like that. So yeah, good on him for that. And then Kai Ueda picked up his very first career RBI. And I think it took him something like 218 at-bats, and that is an NPB record worst, something like that. I don't have the numbers exactly right, but it's something like that. So pretty crazy stuff there.
And even that one was, I believe it was an infield hit, right, that he just barely beat out.
No, it wasn't even a hit. It was a grounder. So I think we had one out and a runner on third, and he grounded out. It was kind of a dribbler, and the runner scored. So you get an RBI for that because it wasn't a double play, but it wasn't an RBI hit.
No, we'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. We take that and we say, okay, well, maybe that'll open up the floodgates, or, you know, not that he's an RBI hitter in the first place or like a power hitter, but, you know, just the same. It's something that, of course, everybody likes to have on their record. And then the last thing that I wanted to mention was in the third game, we set a season high with 20 hits. And I think that was our first time since 2014 to reach 20 hits in a single game. So yeah, that one was really fun to just sit back and watch. And it just seemed like, you know, nothing was going to go wrong. And really nothing did go wrong in that game. So, and the other cool thing was that one of the Oyaji, one of the old men in Hiroshima, stood up on the first base dugout or something. I don't know how he got there, but he started to really tear into, I think he was tearing into Ogata, the manager, as well as Okada, their pitcher, who in that one inning, I just could not believe that they didn't pull him. Like, they just kept him in despite the fact that he was getting shellacked. I think that was the 5th inning where we got 5 runs.
Yep.
And yeah, it just kept going. So very fun series. I've never said that about a Hiroshima series in Hiroshima. And so for the first time ever, folks, fun series in Hiroshima. Woohoo! So we are, you know, on a high of having beaten the Hiroshima Carp in Hiroshima. And thinking, okay, we can bring that momentum home to Koshien. Friday was a day off, and then we went in Saturday against the Giants, and we were hoping that this could be, you know, the start of good things. No guy. We were going up against Sugano, first of all, so that is one kind of, what do you call it, like yellow light or red light or whatever. It's just kind of this warning, like, hey, don't get too excited. Yokawa opens the game with a home run, a solo home run, so 1-0. But then, just got, you know, destroyed. I think it was the 5th inning where he gave up 3 straight 2-run home runs. And I remember watching from home, and I thought, for some reason, I thought that this was game one of a 7 games in 7 days thing, but that actually started later. And so we actually had Saturday, Sunday, and then another day off. So I was wondering, like, why aren't we pulling Ono out of this game? I mean, I understand you want this guy to mature. You want this guy to figure out his own way out of trouble. But he was in serious trouble, and it was so obvious that he was not going to get out of it. And Kanemoto, man, you got to play these games to win. I remember, you know, not that I'm an expert, not that I'm saying, haha, I was right and I'm a good manager, but after the first home run and then he walked the next guy, I was like, oh no. Like, he allowed a hit to Sugano. He gave up the home run to Sakamoto. Then he walked the next hitter. I was like, no, he's mentally checked out. And then his very next pitch was a wild pitch, which allowed the runner to go to second. I was like,
yeah.
Oh, it just can't get any worse than this. And then it was home run, and then it was hit, and then it was home run. And so, you know, 6 runs on his tab, And then they got another home run after that, and we got one late in the game. But by then, my TV was off. I don't even know. I think Hayata hit it. But 7-2 loss at Koshi. And again, against the Giants, we cannot win at home. It's hard, man, because I love going to those games. But this year, I don't love going to those games because we keep losing.
No, I avoided on purpose, actually. And yeah, this one too, I flipped it off after the first Ohno home run because I just knew that things were going to go well. And yeah, when I saw later that he had been allowed to give up three home runs, I mean, after the second one, it's like, really, time to pull the guy. That didn't happen, though, unfortunately. This one, yeah, what can you do but just turn the TV off and go find something more enjoyable to do for the rest of your day.
So the next day, we put the Blue Goat back on the mound, and the game actually was kind of similar to the one on August 31st, where the game started, we were trailing, and it was called due to rain. So another fortunate one. It didn't reach the fifth inning. I think it was in the fourth inning, and the Tigers were down 0-2, and it was called due to rain. So that one will be made up possibly on the 25th, but we're not really sure yet. It hasn't been officially scheduled. So anyways, that gives us, in a sense, 2 days off before we start our 7-7, which started on September the 11th at Koshi against the Dragons.
Yes, and this was an interesting game in a lot of ways, a lot of back and forth. So we send Randy Messenger to the mound against Garcia. Randy has not been pitching very well recently. Garcia has been pitching pretty well all season. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we lose this one 6-7. It was a big back and forth. In the top of the first, Almonte opens up the scoring with a three-run home run, which was a really weird one because it didn't look like it was going to leave the park when it left the bat. Shinsuke was actually setting up to catch it a good, you know, few meters in from the warning track, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if the wind took it or what, but it just went out of the park. Randy couldn't believe it. So that was not the best way to start the game. Itoi gives us one back in the third. And then again in the top of the fourth, Vicieto comes back, hits a solo home run. Randy allows a couple base runners before drilling Matsui in the face. Unfortunately, it wasn't like it was a little bit weird because Matsui was kind of hunkered in to try to drop down a bunt, and it just ran inside a little bit, clocked him in the face. Of course, Randy gets ejected for the Kikenkyu, the dangerous pitch. So that was really unfortunate. For a lot of reasons, obviously, you never want to see anyone get hit. I believe Matsui was taken to the hospital. I don't know what his status is right now.
He pulled off on a stretcher anyways. Yeah. I haven't done anything since either.
Yeah, he was in rough shape, unfortunately, so you never want to see that. So all around, that was just a bummer. But so the bottom of the fourth, Oyama, again, I mean, he's just been on fire lately. He comes in with a solo shot to bring the score to 4-2. Then Hojo hits an opposite field RBI, nice piece of hitting to bring the score to 4-3. And then a bizarre play, Garcia Bach ties it 4-4. Itohara was on third, that brought him in. It looked like Garcia, it was funny because he was kind of like halfway through his windup, and then he was kind of like, what's going on, to the catcher? And he sort of stopped, like sort of almost shrugging. There's some miscommunication there, and it totally threw him off. I haven't quite seen a balk that obvious in a long time. But yeah, so that ties it up 4-4. In the fifth inning, Iwazaki comes in, gives up a go-ahead run to make it 4-5. So it goes back that way. And then Garcia comes back and walks in the tying run in the fifth to make it 5-5. So we go back again. And then in the bottom of the fifth, Oyama, for his second home run of the game, hits a bomb that brings us to 6-5. So you're hoping, Oyama, he's like, okay, I'm just going to win this one myself. You're sort of hoping we continue with that. But Dolis in the ninth just melts down. The progress of his ninth inning was a grounder to short, walk, hit, infield hit, ground out, and then the two RBI hit to Almonte, which brought the score to 6-7, and that's how it ended. Our offense couldn't do anything with that. So this was a bummer. I mean, you know, we've talked about seeing good Dolis and bad Dolis, and this was bad Dolis from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so this was a bummer. We really wanted to win this one. Didn't happen. 6-7 loss. That's how that one ended.
Well, that was Dolis' first game in a week, actually. Like, his previous action was the walk-off loss in Hiroshima. So he's kind of been a victim twice, or not victim, but he's been the loser twice, two appearances in a row. Kind of unfortunate for him. But I kind of feel like maybe with more action, he will find his consistency again. Anyhow, let's brush that one away and move on to last night's game, Jake, to finish up our recap.
Yeah, so we send Iwasada to the mound against Oguma. We win this one 8-5. Dragons strike first in the top of the first with two runs, but Itoi gets them right back with a two-run shot in the bottom. So the Tigers add two more later on, and then Oyama blows it open in the fourth with a three-run home run. So again, this guy is just absolutely on fire. This is the guy that we were hoping to see. I mean, I don't think he's going to continue quite at this clip for the rest of his career, obviously. You know, yeah, he's just doing really, really well. So brought the score. That home run brought the score to 7-2. Navarro tacks another one on with an RBI later on, so it was 8-2 at that point. Iwasada leaves the game. Seven innings pitched, five strikeouts, two earned runs. So again, Iwasada getting it done in style. We bring in Okamoto in for the ninth to just sort of clean it up. And to quote our friend Samuel L. Jackson, Jurassic Park, it was a hold on to your butts kind of moment after that. He ends up giving up three runs. And then Kyuji, who had probably been, you know, relaxing on a lazy boy at that point, expecting that he was just going to have a night off, gets called in for what is now a save situation. Mm-hmm. And he gets it done for the 8-5 victory. So that was good to get out of that one. But yeah, so we win this one. Iwasada, more great pitching. Good to beat up on the Dragons a little bit. And Oyama now is batting, what, like 430-something for September with four home runs. Just totally on fire. And hopefully that continues for the foreseeable future.
Yep. So the Tigers are now seven games under 500 and still in fourth place. There's still lots of baseball and plenty of chance to reach up to second place. Of course, first is out of reach. But yeah, that does it for the recaps. So just before we continue on, I just want to give a special thanks to Travis Kimpler, who also sponsored us with the Kickstarter campaign. And he is a listener of the show down in Austin, Texas. So kudos to Travis.
Nice. Thank you, Travis.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about news and things that have been going on, news and rumors with this team. So we didn't mention this during the recaps, but after Randy Messenger's mediocre outing on Tuesday, plus his ejection, plus not bad outing the week before, plus a not bad outing the week before, plus bad, he hasn't had a lot of great outings lately. He was farmed, actually, that very night it was announced, or maybe it was the next morning early, but he has been farmed. And so the earliest that he can come back then, I think, is the 21st or 22nd against Hiroshima. And really, I mean, you know, you and I have been talking back and forth. This is not the same Randy Messenger as we saw early in the year. And maybe it's good to just give him this, you know, this breather now so that down the stretch, like if he comes back the 22nd, he can still start three or four games for us. I mean, he's only going to miss one start.
Yeah, we really need that vintage Randy Messenger for the stretch, because we've got a pretty ridiculous schedule to close out the season this year with all the rainouts and whatnot. And yeah, he just has not been himself recently. You know, you sort of figure it's probably, I mean, he's a little bit older now, and we're deeper into the season, so the combination of the age and just the getting worn out down the stretch is probably factoring into it. I hope it's not an injury or anything like that. Fingers crossed. But yeah, so hopefully he can get refreshed down on the farm, get some R&R maybe, and then come back ready to fight for us for the rest of the season.
Well, either R&R or just kind of figure out how to put more movement on his pitches or whatever it is that is lacking. But, you know, since the start of June, his ERA is sitting around 4.9. So for the past 3+ months. So, I mean, that is quite high. I mean, you normally, you wouldn't call a guy like that your ace. You know, granted, there are ups and downs in the season, but this is a long stretch of him not really being dominant on a regular basis. So I'm okay with them moving him to the farm. In fact, I read today that it was partly of his own volition or partly his own decision to do so. So we're cool with that. Speaking of older guys, and here's a little rumor that we can play around with maybe this offseason, is that I read an article saying that Fukudome may end up being named a player coach for next season. What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. In the intro, you were talking about Kanemoto possibly making a move to the front office. I was thinking maybe Kanemoto, as opposed to being manager, could be a hitting coach. But then I hear this, Fukudome possibly, I mean, I'm assuming he'd be the hitting coach.
If anyone's replacing Kataoka, I'm happy.
Yeah, right? I mean, so that's sort of what I was thinking with this. If Fukudome can come in and replace Kataoka as a hitting coach and also continue to contribute, I mean, he's playing really, especially lately. I mean, this before he got hurt this month, I believe he was batting what, like around 500, something like that.
Yep, 15 for 30.
Yeah, so There you go. I mean, he can contribute, I think, to the team in a lot of ways. So if that's what he does with this, I'm totally for it. Yeah.
Also, I mean, we could talk a little bit more about some possibilities or whatever. But if we do end up getting an import outfielder, somebody that can actually play the outfield. Sorry, Navarro, your outfielding is not that good. So get somebody out there that can play there and maybe be our regular left fielder. And then Fukudome could just kind of be either pinch hitter or, you know, the spot starter, whatever. That works for me. I mean, the guy is 41. He's having a, you know, he's almost having a career year here. At least for the Tigers, this is maybe his best season as a Tiger, and that's saying something. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind if they tinker, you know, with this idea a little bit more and see if we can make something happen. The next thing that we can talk about is that Atsushi Nomi actually in Tuesday night's loss, he ended up getting a hold, and he becomes the oldest player in team history to record a hold. Now, let's keep in mind that the hold has not been a recorded stat for too long in Japan, but just the same, age 39 and 106 days breaks the record, which was previously held by Shinobu Fukuhara. And so, congrats to Nomi, and man, that guy has been incredible out of the bullpen. I think his ERA since becoming a reliever is like 0.6 or something like that. Hey, sorry, I think I might have failed to mention this during the recap time, and this kind of follows in with news, so I'll throw it in right here. Former Hanshin Tiger, who served the team, for better or for worse, for 7 years, Takahiro Arai, announced his retirement from pro baseball. He is currently with the Hiroshima Carp, as many of you know. He's 41 years old, so he's ripe old age as well. And the day that he announced that retirement, the Carp went on a 6-game losing streak, so that was kind of a cool coincidence, but they broke it last night. You know, it kind of doesn't matter because, you know what, they've got the pennant. I mean, their magic number is 7 with like 14, 15, 18 games left, something like that. So no problem whatsoever there. But, you know, Arai was a guy that, you know, he maybe didn't perform to his best with the Hanshin Tigers. I think 2008 was a good year for him, maybe 2010, and that might be it. But, you know, this is a guy that has contributed to the game of baseball. And from what I hear, he's just a stand-up human being. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our buddy Sanjay, who's in Hawaii, he actually has met and become good friends with Elder Arai, so that's kind of a cool thing. You know, maybe Sanjay will get to see him more in Hawaii now that he's going to be retired.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Arai for a great career. He was kind of a Tiger killer after he left us, unfortunately. He beat up on us a little bit. But hey, you know, he contributed when he was on the team as well. And yeah, seems like a good guy overall. So congrats on a great career. And yeah, enjoy your post playing retirement to the fullest. Hawaii is a good place to do it, so Sanjay, yeah, you might be seeing him a lot of him.
Salamaho, Sanjay. Interestingly though, you know, Arai has quite the affection for Kanemoto and vice versa, so it would be interesting. This is a T-Ray started rumor, or maybe not. What if we called him in to be our hitting coach?
Hey, yes.
All right, let's move on. A couple more items. Umeno, our current catcher, is just 3 games away from catching 100 games on the year. That is, starting at catcher for 100 games on the year. And if he does so, or when he does so, because it seems inevitable at this point, he will be the first Hanshin catcher to do 100-plus games behind the mask since 2010. Do you remember who it was?
That would be Jojima, yeah?
That is right. Kenji Jojima caught all 144 games that season. Had quite the year, and then after that was kind of the end of his career. Like, his 2011 was weak, and then his 2012 was, I think, limited to maybe a dozen games or so. Anyhow, Umeno, age 27, has finally come into his own, and I read a few times, and I've heard a few times, that, you know, it takes catchers a good amount of time to actually settle into their roles. If you're an out-of-high-school catcher, it takes about 6 years to really settle in, and out of university, it'll take, you know, up to 4 years. Umeno, I think, is in his fifth year right now. So it's about right, you know, timing-wise. So I think he's finally come into his own. He's figured things out a little bit better. His game calling has been a little bit questionable lately, but, you know, he's got room to grow, you know, at 27, and his bat has come alive. So I like what I see there.
Yeah, definitely. He's, you know, he slowed down a little bit in September, but he had an amazing August. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so hopefully he can find that consistency at the plate. Generally calls a pretty good game, aside from some blips lately. But yeah, keep it up. I mean, we need that presence there, and hopefully he's the guy to do it.
Okay, final piece of news, and I think this one came out right around the time that we recorded the last podcast. So we're going back a couple of weeks now. One of our pitchers, actually our 7th or 8th round pick in the 2016 draft, Kosuke Fujitani. He's got Fukudome's first name, Fujinami's first half of last name and Toritani's second half of last name. Great name. Kosuke Fujitani. Remember that name, everybody. He was a pitcher, and we drafted him out of the industrial leagues. He has been converted to a fielder. He has been on the farm his whole career. He's never played on the top squad. But his final pitching game, he went one inning and allowed five runs against the Hiroshima Carp on the farm. And I think maybe that was the final kick in the pants to say, I ain't going to make it as a pitcher. But Yano, the farm manager, has said, you know, of all the players on the farm, not pitchers, players, he has probably got the best raw talent. He's probably got the best physique. He can probably hit the ball farther than anybody on the farm, is what he said. So in his first game as a farm fielder, I think he played third base, if I'm not mistaken. He made one play in the infield. He got an infield hit, and he also stole a base. And I saw some highlights of it. He didn't really look like he was super comfortable doing any of those things. But you can see, I mean, if a guy can do that, you know, that says something, especially in his first game. So, you know, I'm not expecting him to be the next Itoi. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Itoi was drafted as a pitcher back in the day by the Nippon Ham Fighters. But is now quite the hitter. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with Fujitani. But at the very least, he's extended his career for one, maybe 2 years, while the farm gives him a chance to hone his skills.
Well, I wonder, you know, maybe being in an outfield position, it might do with something like Rick Ankiel. You know, you see Ankiel, who, you know, had that disastrous stint as a pitcher and then converted into an outfielder. And man, there were some times where he would just nail guys on the way home, you know, things that would normally, hits that would normally be sac flies. Runners on third knew they couldn't run against him. So, hey, maybe Fujitani, he can use that arm strength to his advantage and, you know, do something with it.
For sure. Well, Itoi did it, right? Or does it. He's got a really good throwing arm. And then Ichiro was a pitcher through his second year of high school, and he obviously is quite well known for doing the same thing. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Anyways, let's move on. We have an interview to listen to. I talked to Stephen Green from Rock Core after the game on September the 2nd, and this is what we had to say. Hey, everybody out there. I am here with a special guest. This is Stephen Green, and he is the CEO of Rock Core. Welcome to the show, Stephen, for the second time.
Oh, thanks, man. What's up, everybody? It's a pleasure to be sitting here outside Cushion Stadium after a great victory.
Yeah, so today is September 2nd, and we witnessed a 12-3 shellacking of the Yokohama DeNA BayStars. Surprisingly bad team, surprisingly bad Imanaga. And it was good to see you again, Stephen. This is the second time we took in a game together.
Oh, and man, it's it's something special. You know, the last time we watched, we lost a close one. But this is a bit of a lopsided victory, but I'll take it if we're on that side of the lop.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. You know, and we had some highlight hitting from several guys. No home runs. One that kind of got called back because Yokawa's home run actually hit the top kind of yellow bar, just barely not clearing. I mean, hit the bar and went over the fence. But anyhow... So Steven was on, I think it might have been like episode 15 or 16 or something way back in the day. Maybe, you know, definitely in the podcast infancy. I think I was still in year one technically. But here we are now. I think we're in year three of the podcast, or we've completed 3 years. And it's good to have you back on the show. And I just want to kind of talk to some people about what you do, because I think what you do is a really cool thing, and we talked about it a bit back in the day, but I think the listenership was probably a little bit lower back then. So tell us a little bit about Rock Core, man.
Thanks, T-Ray, but first can I start off by saying on behalf of all of the listeners and the followers of H10, thank you for all the work that you do, because, you know, you're our portal into this team, and the highs, the lows, the successes, the failures, and without your reporting, we wouldn't have nearly the amount of enjoyment of following the team. So on behalf of all of us, thank you.
Well, hey, it's my pleasure. Unfortunately, that means sometimes you have to ride the lows with me in, you know, through my lens. But hey, that's the way it goes. When I get to be the junior executive vice president of H10, then that's what you got to hear. But yeah, again, let's talk about Rock Core a little bit.
Yeah, cool. Well, basically what Rock Core does is we produce music concerts with big name artists. We just had a gig this weekend with Ellie Goulding in Chiba and Makuhari Messe, and a number of great Japanese artists like Blue and Count and Kanto Milia. But we don't sell tickets for our concerts. Instead, you know, for instance, this concert we just did in Chiba, We did 200 community volunteer projects, mostly around the Kanto region, but some in the Tohoku region, doing community type of rebuilding efforts, whether it's environment or working for young people or for the elderly. And we invite people to come down. If they do 4 hours of work, volunteer work on one of these projects, we hand them a ticket to the gig. It's that simple.
That is, I mean, that's just such a brilliant idea. And I don't know if this was like your brainchild or what, but like, how did you start? How long ago did you start? Where did you start? How did this all come about?
It wasn't my brainchild, but I got pulled in by a couple of guys who were live music producers, so festival organizers. And anyone who's sort of been involved in music festivals, you know that, you know, you've got to go from 0 to 100 miles an hour with, 60, 80, 100,000 people coming. So they'll often give tickets out to local people, townspeople, to set up the fence, pick up the trash, tear tickets, whatever needs doing. And these two guys, my co-founders, thought, what if we gave all the tickets away, and instead of just working around the festival ground, we started to build hiking trails in the cities we're in, or working in the elementary schools, and really use the lure of a concert ticket to generate a lot of community work. So that was kind of the genesis of the idea. We really got going in earnest after the terrorist attacks in New York in 2001. There was such a kind of vacuum of what we would consider sort of political leadership. You know, people wanted to do something and be connected with each other. And we thought this was kind of the perfect time to drop one of these concerts into New York to see if it would work. And it did. And now Japan is our 10th country we've done it in.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So are there plans to move into other countries as well? Or is this a pretty tight ship? Like, I mean, you're pretty busy if you're doing 10 countries.
No, we move around. You know, some countries are more active than others. We have plans. We've been kind of trying to leverage our success here in Japan to get Korea going. There's so much attention now with Korea, and hopefully some real positivity there in kind of bringing the continent back together, at least creating a different situation. We'd love to do a concert like this in Seoul. Of course, we'd love to do one in North Korea, but that's probably a few years down the track. So we're working on Seoul. We're also working on India, doing a concert hopefully next year in Mumbai.
Wow.
And then
nice.
New Zealand. So those are the three new countries we're kind of pecking away at.
Very cool. And so obviously, you know, with Japan, you tried to get some of the local artists involved as far as kind of being the drawing card or whatever. Would you do the same thing then if you were, obviously you do the same thing like in India or in New Zealand or other in Korea as well, right?
Yeah, so the model we like to employ is we'll take one of these international artists. I mentioned Ellie Goulding, but, you know, we've worked with Rihanna and Kanye West and Puff Daddy and Lady Gaga. And we'll bring an international artist like that into the market just to kind of create a little attention, some buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly work with local artists, so people who are really known in the country we're in. And we require every artist who plays one of our shows not just to perform, but they have to do one of the 4-hour volunteer projects with us.
Nice.
This is really important because what we're trying to do, and we kind of focus on 16 to 30 year olds, is show them that doing volunteer work, community engagement, it's just a part of being a human being, as going to a baseball game or going to a concert or fashion show or video games. And really getting involved in community and volunteering is a part of life.
Nice. So a question getting back to kind of the Japan project or what's going on here. You know, you had the show last night, September the 1st. When do you start thinking about next year, or is that already in motion, or how does the year look like in organizing, for example, one individual country and what they're doing?
It never stops. So our supporter here in Japan is JT, and so we're always in conversation with our sponsors wherever we are in the world about, you know, what is going on for them and their business and their objectives. That process has already started for 2019. You know, for us in Japan, you know, Japan is unique in so many ways, mm-hmm. but it's unique in its treatment of kind of volunteering and nonprofit organizations. As you know, T-Ray, Japanese people have a great culture of unity and helping each other out and support and togetherness. but what we would consider more kind of a form of volunteer structure doesn't really exist in Japan.
Yeah, you're right.
And we are, and so many young people now in Japan are wondering, you know, there's got to be more to life than just getting into a job and helping my company make money. Maybe there's something we can do together in this sort of third area besides family and work, and that's civil society. So we want to take our five-year base and start to do more of sort of promoting in general the idea of volunteering, promoting in general the idea of a nonprofit organization, either working with one, supporting one, starting your own, and really becoming advocates for this type of human connection and connection with the communities where we live.
Well, I think that's definitely something that is sorely needed here in Japan. And you know, just as you said, people are very kind-hearted. They are definitely, you know, very big on being united and doing projects together and, you know, helping each other out. And there's just maybe not the means to do that. So it's great to have Rock Corps, coming into this country and helping out a little bit in that way. Lastly, just, can you let people know how they can get in touch with Rock Corps? Because obviously, you know, that we have listeners in Japan. We also have listeners in America and probably other countries as well. What is a good time for them to start to look into it? Or is any time a good time? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, come and get engaged with us. I mean, we're pretty active on social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter. And just search us at Rock Corps. It's like Peace Corps, Rock, C-O-R-P-S, and you'll find us. Every country kind of have its individual platform. So Rock Corps Japan, you'll kind of quickly get directed there and other parts of the world. But please come and engage with us online, and we'd love to hear from you. Especially, we'd love to hear from any Hanshin fans.
Yeah, you know, get the Hanshin Rock Corps connection even more solid, maybe even an H10 Rock Corps connection. Well, Stephen, it's been great talking with you tonight, and let's continue to cheer on the Tigers for the rest of this year, even though the pennant is out of reach. I hope we can do this annually, man. Go to a game together.
Well, thank you, brother. Again, thanks for all you're doing, and if you and I getting together means a 12-3 victory, then I guess we're going to have to stay here for all of September to make sure we just get into the playoffs and hopefully do some damage.
Absolutely, man. All right, well, we'll catch you again next time.
All right, so, that was my second time meeting Steven, second time to go to a game with him. And as we mentioned, he was a guest on the podcast once before. So it was really great to talk to you, Steven, and we wish Rock Corps all the best. And anybody out there who likes music and wants to help out Japan or whatever country you're in, look up Rock Corps and give them a shot. 4 hours of volunteer work will get you a ticket to a concert, and it's a hot ticket, let me tell you. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hot Topics. All right, we are jumping into the Hot Topic. And as we have mentioned on this show several times, this Tomoaki Kanemoto Hanshin Tigers team has seen a lot of great players who have done great stuff for one season. This is season number 3 of his reign, and so, you know, we've seen a lot of players come up, do great, struggle, sit on the farm, struggle even on the farm, do great on the farm, come back up, struggle some more. It's just been a real merry-go-round as far as, or a revolving door, whatever analogy you want to use. And so Jake and I were thinking, wouldn't it be fun to piece together an all Kanemoto Tigers order/roster. Looking at these players that have been on the team since 2016 through this day and how they performed, and picking out a hitting order or a lineup, a hitting order, and also we've even gone so far as to choose a rotation, a bullpen, and guys on the bench. So, first of all, before we get into batting order, let's name our guys off at each position, just so that everybody out there can hear what we think about the best 9 for these Hanshin Tigers. And so we'll start at the 2 spot because we'll do the pitching rotation later. So who do you have as your catcher?
My catcher, I'm going to go with Umeno for 2018. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he's still only batting .247, but he's got 8 home runs, and I think he's sort of starting to come into his own. I know we've been waiting for that for a while, but yep. So I'm going to go with 2018 version of Ryutaro Umeno.
Fair enough. He's also, this is a career high for his batting average, and again, his defense is, you know, second to none. I, in fact, wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Golden Glove, I think in Japan, Golden Glove at catcher this season. For myself, I will choose Fumihito Haraguchi circa 2016. That was his breakout year. He won Player of the Month in his first month as an officially registered player, because before that he was on the development squad. Just had an unforgettable season, and maybe his defense was lacking a bit, but I just love what he did. Brought some, you know, some fresh air and some excitement to the team. He's doing great this year as a pinch hitter, so I could see a case for putting him on the bench as a pinch hitter as well, but I have him in my starting lineup at catcher. Let's move on to first base. And this one, things are a little bit lean. You know, we went through a fair number of gaijin at first base. We had the Haraguchi experiment. We had a bit of a Nakatani experiment as well. Who do you got at first?
I got to go with Gomez from 2016. This was tricky because I think Nakatani has similar numbers. I'm sorry, Nakatani from 2017, I should say, has similar numbers. Mm-hmm. But Gomez hit for 2016. He batted .255 with 22 home runs. I feel like we just need that home run presence in our lineup, so I'm going to go with Gomez 2016.
Yeah, ditto, actually. I've got the same thing down. Unfortunately, that was his worst of his 3 years, so his time under WADA was much better. But it's still almost the best that we have had at first base in 3 years, so that's kind of sad. But let's take it. All right, second base, who you got?
For second base, I'm going to go with Uemoto Hiroki from 2017. Yeah, batted .284, hit 9 home runs. So gotta love Uemoto.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, he had 19 stolen bases and only one caught stealing as well, so he was an asset on the base paths as well. Yep. I'm going to agree with you. I would have said Uemoto 2018, but of course his season ended very early and very tragically and very unfortunately, because he was having an outstanding start to the year, like that first month of the year. And then was it his ACL, I think, that he tore? But also, just to throw in a favorite moment for Uemoto in 2017, he got beamed in the head by Hatake late in the season. This is the Giants pitcher. And I think it was like the first pitch or the third pitch of the game or something. This is at Tokyo Dome. So Uemoto actually, I think, left that game. And of course, Hatake was ejected. The very next day, they brought him in because it was just one, you know, he'd only thrown like three pitches or whatever. And I think he came in relief and he faced Uemoto. And the first pitch that Uemoto saw from him, he crushed. He hit a home run. And so that was just like, that was such an exciting moment last season. So I've got Uemoto as my second baseman. Love the pop that he's got. Love the speed that he's got. Don't always love his defense, but he certainly is a spark plug. So, yes. Okay, third base. We're going around the horn here. Who you got at third?
Gotta be Toritani, man, for 2017. I mean, he was good in 2017 anyway. I batted .293, but mostly, you know, you can't have a Tigers team without Toritani at this point. So I'm going to stick him in there. I mean, defense, of course, with Toritani is always an adventure, but that said, I'm going to put him in over at third base. Also because there isn't really a lot of other choices for third base at this point either.
Yeah, but exactly. Who are you going to put in there? Campbell? Who are you going to put in there? Haig? you know, who are you going to put in there? Like Yokawa, who's, you know, maybe played 10 games? Or I guess Oyama is the only other possible option, but I'm going to agree with you with Toritani. You know, his 2017 was good, his 2016 was awful, and his this year has been quite lacking as well. He's been very sporadic just in his playing time. So yeah, 2017 Toritani, you got it. Okay, shortstop. This is going to be an interesting one because there have been a lot of guys that have played shortstop over the 3 years. Some guys have done it quite well, some guys not so well. Who you got?
So I'm going to say, if we go by full season, I'd have to put Itohara from this season, 2018, in there.
Fair enough.
But honestly, if we're not going to stick to the full season rule, I like Hojo, man. I think he's been, you know, he's hot, and I, you know, it's hard to say what he would do over the course of the full season, but he's been really consistent since he came up as well. So I guess I'll put Hojo in there for 2018 as my runner up.
Okay, you could even put him in as your starter. I mean, like, he has been quite good, and his defense is getting better. He's still making some errors, but I really think that he's the guy. I mean, he might be the guy that we stick with. There's a couple things I don't really like about him. He's not a power hitter, nor is he a very fast runner, nor is he an excellent defender. So he's kind of not really excellent at anything except for just being a really tenacious hitter. You know, he'll stand in there. He'll take a whole bunch of pitches. He'll foul a whole bunch off. He's got a pretty good eye, much better than he did in his first season, which was also quite respectable. So yeah, I respect your choice, but I'm actually going with somebody who helped us win a game earlier, I think last week, or pardon me, September 1st, none other than the battleship Yamato. Who would have thought? But his 2017 was actually quite good, and I hated him as a switch hitter. But his defense, I mean, we got to have some good defenders in there. And so I'm going to go with Yamato 2017 as my shortstop.
That's a good choice. Yeah, the defense is a huge thing. Defense wins games in a lot of cases, and or at least helps you keep the game going. So
yeah.
I can respect that. I did, as I was putting this together, I sort of realized, wow, defense is probably not a high point of my lineup here.
Yeah.
I just sort of set that aside. But yeah, I like that choice too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you can't have it all, right? I mean, if you're going to go all defense, you're going to have a pretty measly hitting lineup like the Tigers currently have, or at least they had until August. Okay, let's move to the outfield now. So left field.
I got to be Fukudome from 2016. He batted .311 with 11 home runs. You know, his defense isn't great, but it's not bad either, I think.
No, it's quite good, I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I stick Fukudome out there as opposed to any of the other options that I saw, yep.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Fukudome as well, but I'm going for circa 2018 this year. He's already surpassed that season's home run total. He's got 14. Mm-hmm. He's batting .292, which is fairly close to that number. And I just think that, in general, I think his OPS is higher than it was then. Mm-hmm. And I was looking some stuff up on a different website, which actually looks at the stat RC27, I think is what it's called, which basically means that it's runs created per player per 27 outs. In other words, if you had 9 Fukudomes in the lineup, how would he do? Mm-hmm. Right? For a whole game, how many runs would he create? And he and Itoi are quite high up there. So I was pretty impressed with that. Actually, yeah, Fukudome as of yesterday was creating 7.08 runs per 27, which is quite good. And if we look at 2016, I'm just going to pull this up real quick here, 6.84. So pretty close, pretty close. He's a little bit higher this year. And so I'm going to go with 2018 Fukudome in left field.
Either way, we've got Fukudome in there.
And a good Fukudome.
For our left fielder. Yeah, good Fukudome in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not, you know, his 2017 actually wasn't too bad either, but just not quite. His home runs were a little bit higher, but his overall value was a little bit lower. So let's then move forward to center. And this is going to be an interesting topic as well, because we've had some really good center fielders and we've had some not so good center fielders, but we've had certainly a lot of guys there. You know, Takayama, Shunsuke, Nakatani, Egoshi. I think Navarro even played a bit of center field, if you want to throw him in. But, and even Nishioka played a game in center field.
Oh,
I believe.
Yes,
so,
the
glass
man. Unfortunately, right? Nishioka did not find his way into my lineup.
Right. Oh, and let's not forget last night's starter in center field, Hayata. So, you know, all sorts of choices here. What do you got for us?
Well, I started actually with Takayama, but then when I was creating my lineup, I decided to put someone else in there just because it would fit better and fit in better with my batting order. So I have Shunsuke from 2017 in there. He batted .309 overall. I mean, it was you were hoping it was a breakout year for him. It hasn't quite panned out this year.
Yeah.
But 2017 Shunsuke is who I would have in center field.
Cool. That's a very good choice, actually. That was the first year I actually liked Shunsuke. So. Mm. Yeah, good choice. I'm going to go with, I actually considered Takayama as well, but I'm going to go with Nakatani. As we mentioned earlier, those 20 home runs in 2017, kind of a big deal for this team. You know, the only guy to hit 20 home runs, the only Japanese player to hit 20 home runs in the last 4 or 5 seasons. So, yeah, pretty good stuff there. I'll take Nakatani 2017 in center. And then right field, it seems like a pretty obvious choice. I mean, 2016 was Fukudome in right, and since then it's mostly been Itoi's place to play. You know, they made the change I think in June of 2017, so Fukudome was in right until then, and then they moved him to left and they moved Itoi from center to right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Itoi 2018. How about yourself?
Same thing. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, I think is his second or third best OPS ever in his career. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, he's playing mostly at Koshien. And despite that, you know, he used to play mostly at Kyocera Dome or even at Sapporo Dome. This is his second best OPS ever at age 37. I think he swiped his 19th base last night. He also hit his 16th home run. The only thing about Itoi I'm a bit worried about is that he is a 17 home run hitter. That just seems to be his magic number for his career. 2013, 15, 16, and 17, he hit 17 home runs. His career tops was 19 in 2014. So he's one more away from 17 home runs. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't just hit one more the rest of the way.
No, I think we can. I'm going to say he hits 20 this year. I think he can keep it up to that sort of pace. I say that with my fingers crossed because we need that. But yep. Yeah, I mean, you look at what he's done this year. You really can't complain about anything.
Yeah, his home run last night was his first in a long time. He had definitely been in a bit of a dry spell as far as power goes. He was still delivering, though, at the plate. I mean, as the number four hitter, he was getting the RBI singles and RBI doubles and sometimes mm-hmm. even setting the table for other guys. So I definitely wouldn't complain about that. Let's keep in mind, too, that in 2017, he hit those 17 home runs in 114 games because he took a bit of time off because of his knee.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I think he got beaned, maybe in the ribs, or I forget exactly, but anyways. Mm-hmm. So let's move on then. We've got our starting lineup in place. Do you want to do hitting order right away?
Sure, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so I'll give you mine first, and then you can follow up with yours. And let's keep in mind, this does not reflect on what Kanemoto has done with the hitting order. This is 100% our preference, so we can put guys wherever we want. So this is what I got. I got Uemoto leading off with Itoi hitting second, and that's something that we've never seen, but I just think like the MLB style of putting a really good hitter in the number two slot is what we need to do. And I love having that 007 right at the top of the order. I've got Fukudome batting third, Gomez batting fourth. That one I'm a little bit shaky about. I would almost be willing to put Fukudome in fourth. Anyways, Nakatani fifth, Toritani sixth, Haraguchi seventh, and then Yamato eighth. And I mm-hmm. tinkered a little bit with the idea of doing the Baystar style and having the pitcher bat eighth and then having Yamato bat ninth. But when I read stuff, it basically said that, you know, there's not a huge difference as far as runs created, as far as opportunities. And I understand the pluses and minuses, but it seems like it's almost just like a cool thing to do just because, hey, look what we can do and let's see if it works better for us. But there's no evidence saying that it works better or worse. So I would just stick with the standard and put Yamato batting eighth. So yeah, that's my order.
All right. So I've got Shunsuke batting first, leadoff, Uemoto second, then I've got Itoi third, Gomez fourth, Fukudome fifth, Toritani sixth, and then assuming I'm using Hojo as my shortstop, I've got him as seventh, and then Umeno as my catcher in eighth. If I had Itohara in there instead of Hojo, I might switch it up a little bit, but that's what I'd have assuming that lineup.
I wonder, it would be fun to create some kind of formula whereby we could calculate which of our teams would be the better team. But of course, you know, we would also have to think about defensive metrics, and it would be nearly impossible, especially for guys like us who, you know, our lives are not baseball. But
I like what you did, yeah, with the number, like particularly number 2 through 5. Like mine is definitely a lot more traditional with Itoi, Gomez, and Fukudome doing 3, 4, 5. But it would be cool to see what would happen with some of the power guys up higher in the order. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know if you look at this year's, if you're following the majors, if you look at this year's Red Sox, they've got Mookie Betts batting leadoff, and he's just like one of their best hitters, period, in terms of power as well. So mm-hmm. it's cool to see what happens when you put somebody like that in there. I mean, hey, what would happen if you had Itoi batting leadoff? You know, it might
right.
be, who knows? It might be something really interesting to see. But
well, at the start of the season, that's what I thought they should have done, really, because mm-hmm. I mean, you want to give your best hitters more at bats, and that's the way to do it. Interestingly, speaking of that, though, do you know who the Giants led off with last night? Not that we want to become Y-Gen here, but who was their leadoff hitter last night?
I was paying attention a little bit later because it was an interesting game toward the end of the game, but I didn't see the beginning. No, who was leadoff?
Well, you know, they usually have Sakamoto in there, right? Which I think is a mm-hmm. pretty good choice. Alex Guerrero was their leadoff hitter last night.
Oh, wow. How'd it pan out for him? Because it was 1-1 in like the 10th when I last checked in.
And so it ended 1-1. I don't know how it went, but I just think it's an interesting choice. And I don't know. I also read, you know, again, not that we're Y-Gen, but their manager is going to be renewed for next year, it appears. And, you know, he was kind of on the hot seat. And so that's kind of interesting that Takahashi will be back for another mm-hmm. season. Anyhow, let's continue on with the topic. Let's go through our rotations really quickly. And Jake, for myself, man, I struggled because, you know, I would have loved to have said, okay, my starting, you know, rotation is Messenger 2016, Messenger 2017, Messenger 2018. But I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to cheat like that. I want to use different individuals. And so I really struggled. But this is what I came up with. And this is in no particular order, I guess, or maybe it is. I've got Messenger 2017, Iwasada 2016, Akiyama 2017, Fujinami 2016, Iwazaki 2016, He's now a reliever, but he was a starter then. And then Aoyagi 2016, he was quite unhittable, but he also walked a lot of guys and plunked quite a few guys as well. But he was just a fun kind of wild card. So that's my rotation. How about yourself?
Man, almost exactly the same. I've got Messenger from 2016 to start off. He did have a higher ERA than in 2017, but he also pitched in a lot more games.
Yeah.
So
because of the injury, right, where he got drilled by the Abe line drive. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You could really go either way with that one, I think. But Messenger. Then I've got Akiyama from 2017, Iwasata from 2016. And then the last three, again, no particular order, but yeah, I've got the same ones. Fujinami 2016, Aoyagi 2016, Iwasaki 2016. So I think you and I are pretty much on the same wavelength with that one.
Yeah, you know, I was teetering about putting Nomi in there as one of my starters, but I realized, you know, he in 2016 and 2017, while he was definitely an innings eater, but he certainly was not outstanding. And so I was kind of like, well, do I put Iwasaki 2017 in the bullpen and Nomi in the rotation or what? And I just thought, you know, like Iwasaki, as good as he is, you know, these guys are both lefties, by the way. Nomi has had such a good 2018 in the bullpen that he's much bigger asset as a reliever than he was as a starter, especially in the Kanemoto era. And so for my bullpen, this is what I've got. And, you know, you got to remember that 2017 was, you know, a bullpen for the ages. Mm-hmm. I've got Dolis 2017, Mateo 2017, Kyuji, I'm going to go with this year, 2018. He was good in 2017 as well. Kuwahara 2017, he was a bit better than. Nomi this year. Takahashi 2017, so I've got four guys from last year's squad. And then as my kind of wild card, my seventh one, I'm going to go with Yuya Ando 2016. He retired at the end of 2017, but he had a good 2016, and I want to recognize that. And, you know, again, as a guy that's in his middle ages, bring in some old guys into the bullpen. Yeah. Okay, how about yourself?
Yeah, I had pretty much the exact same thing. I said bring back pretty much the 2017 bullpen, almost entirely intact. You know, Mateo, Kuwahara, Dolis, and Takahashi from 2017 were just absolutely lights out. And then for the 2018 team, I'm going to go with Nomi and Kyuji because they've just been astoundingly good this year. So that's what I have for the bullpen. And I think if we could, I mean, if we had that bullpen this year, we would already be right up there with the Carp, I think, in the pennant race. But yeah, anyway.
Let's put it this way. Let's put our starting lineups and our starting rotations and our bullpen, like take the best of the past 3 years and just put it against the Carp. We'd kill them.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that's what it takes, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting, though, is that for the most part, though, all those players are generally intact this year. I mean, you know, we don't have Uemoto, obviously. We don't have Gomez. And we don't have Takahashi.
Yamato.
Yamato and whatnot. But for the most part, all those guys are still with us.
You know? Exactly.
And it's just really a shame that everything can't all come in and click at the same time. And obviously, you know, that's never going to happen. You know, injuries and guys just having down years and stuff. But but it's interesting to see how many of the players that you and I have chosen are still right up there in 2018 here. So,
and I don't necessarily think that, you know, these guys just had their career year and then that's it. Like, I mean, some of them broke out and some of them showed their potential, but I don't think that's the best that it gets. Like, I mean, I think all the guys that we chose, or most of them, have the potential of doing even better. Mm-hmm. And so that's a topic for another show, probably maybe an early off-season show or maybe a late spring show where we talk about what would the ideal 2019 Hanshin Tigers lineup look like. And so maybe we'll do that maybe in October. Anyways, just to round things out real quick, my bench is basically the guys that Jake mentioned that I didn't. So guys like Umeno, Shunsuke, Itohara, Hojo, Takayama. But then I'm also going to add Hayata as one of my pinch hitters on the bench. And also, just as a wild card, just for fun, just to remember his name, everybody, the final piece of the puzzle, Jason Rogers 2017.
Ah, I like it. I like it. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer because you didn't really get to see what Rogers was really capable of, and I think he had a much higher upside than the team gave him credit for.
Yeah.
I like that bench. I would go with Haraguchi because, again, we're looking at just an amazing pinch hitter this year. I don't like to relegate him to that role, but he does it really well, so I'd say go for it. I would have Nakatani on there too, which I'm kind of leery about because it's hard to say how he would respond in a pinch hitting role, like if he would come anywhere close to the production he had. But, you know, assuming Nakatani from 2017, assuming you can get a few home runs out of him, I put him on there. And then gotta have Hayata on there as well, so I'd agree with the rest of your choices too.
Yeah, you know, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm trying to find some numbers here, but I can't quite find them. I think that Nakatani actually does better later in games than he does early in games. In other words, it takes him a few at-bats to warm up. I could be wrong about that.
That's the impression I had from him. You see a couple strikeouts before he'll hit a bomb. It's kind of a weird choice maybe, but I'd like to see him on the team too, and I really want Gomez in there. So that's where I kind of have to stick him, I guess.
Sure. Okay, well, that about does it. And so somehow if we can get that team together, find some time machines or something, rent the DeLorean from Doc Brown or whatever. Let's make it happen and let's have a championship one of these years.
I'll email Kanemoto right now.
Okay, I'll email Christopher Lloyd and we'll see if we can make this happen.
What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be? What's going to happen with the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 prediction.
What's going to happen?
So, we have to finish off this series against the Dragons, and then after that, we've got a couple at home to the Swallows, and I'll be at the first of those two on Friday night. Then we go on the road for two against the Bay Stars and one against the Swallows, and three against the Carp. And then we're back home for potentially three straight against the Giants. Again, one of them, there's a rain date in there, and we do have a rained out game to make up. So if they plug it in there, that'll be three against the Giants, and then two at home against the Bay Stars. So pretty complicated schedule, and this is the time of year where you'll see we're playing like one game here, one game there against different opponents. I think at one stretch, maybe after this one, we play three different teams in 3 days all at home. So kind of interesting stuff. I think it's like we go like one against Swallows, one against the Giants. Did I say Dragons or Giants? Swallows, Dragons, Bay Stars. I think like three games in 3 days, something like that. Anyhow, I'm not going to predict how we're going to do. I'm going to say this. As I said earlier in the show, we're 7 games under 500. I think in this 14-game stretch, we have to go 9-5. So this is what I propose, Tigers. And if you can follow my orders, I'll love you forever. Beat the Dragons tonight. Go 2-1 against the Swallows. Go 3-1 against the Bay Stars in those four total. And then between the Carp and Giants, go 3-3. That gives us a 9-5. That puts us 3 games below 500. And that would put us right in the thick of things. We could either be in third, maybe even in second, but certainly right in the mix to get into the playoffs or host the playoffs even. What do you think, Jake?
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you. I'm not gonna try to make too many predictions because I'm usually wrong, but I would say if they can go 9-5 and the ones you were talking about would be good. I think our pitching is a concern now, obviously, because we don't know what's going on with Randy and we don't know who can pick up the slack. But if the offense can sort of keep chugging along, I don't expect them to be as good as they have been lately, of course, but they seem to be a lot more confident in general. They're stringing more hits together. Guys who, you would expect to show power are, like Oyama. So I think we can use that to our advantage. I'm going to say we can at least, beat the Swallows and the Bay Stars pretty soundly, I think, over this next stretch, which means if we can, like you said, go 500 against the Carp and the Giants, I think we'll be in good shape. So, if they can go 9-5, I'd be very, very happy. Even a little bit less than that, I think, would be acceptable, maybe, considering, the pitching uncertainty we have. But, I would agree with that, and fingers crossed that it does actually happen that way.
Hey, everybody. The Fujinami experiment continues this Sunday. I think it's Sunday. He's scheduled to start against the Bay Stars. Fortunately, it's in Yokohama, which means that, he's not going to be facing as many jeers from the hunching crowd if he walks a few too many guys. But he's been looking pretty good on the farm. And so, as we mentioned in our presentation, and as we've even mentioned on the show, we want this guy to succeed, man. Like, we want him to be the superstar that he is born to be. So let's see it happen.
I just want to see him stay up on the top squad at this point. It's like, even if he gets shellacked, it's like, just stop sending the guy back down. Let him just settle in a little bit, and you might see him settle down and pitch a little bit better. Stop this revolving door nonsense.
But in the off season, send him to a shrink, maybe stateside or something like that, where he can get some real professional help. Really, because I don't think it's a physical thing. I don't think that his stuff has gotten worse. I don't think his mechanics are that badly off. I mean, that's something that could be pretty easily tweaked, but I think there's something going on in that head of his. So let's make it happen, Tigers. Okay, one announcement. T-Ray is going to be teaching a Hanshin Tigers English class in Kobe during the fall and winter. That's right. The Kobe Shimbun, Kobe Newspaper Culture Club, has recruited me to teach an English conversation class the topic of which is none other than Hanshin Tigers. So if you are interested in learning English in a classroom setting while talking about the Hanshin Tigers, you can follow the link in the show notes. I'm going to put a link in there where you can see more information about this class, which starts in October. Just to throw it in Japanese for our Japanese listeners, 僕 T Day は10月から阪神タイガース中心の英会話のクラスを教えます。神戸新聞カルチャークラブ主催のクラスになりますので、もし興味があれば、この番組、この、第86の配線の、ショーノーツに、リンクを貼りますので、どうぞそれを見てください。So I'm really excited about the class. I hope it's going to be a lot of fun, and I've actually got a few surprises for the people that are in the class. So look forward to it, everybody. Thank you once again for your time and passion for the Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news, articles, and more at thehanshintigers.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just type in the four magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. By the way, I want to get this up on Google Play and Spotify, but I don't know enough. I'm just not smart enough to do it. So if anyone out there wants to help, that would be great. Anyways, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. Put a review up. That really helps us a lot. And also share it with your friends. You can get all the news by following us on Facebook. Just search again for Hanshin Tigers English News on Facebook and you'll find us there. Also, if you feel inclined, write a review on that page as well. You can follow me. Probably the place where I am the most active is Twitter, at the Hanshin Tiger. Find me there. Also, Instagram, I'm kind of losing a bit of interest in that because I'm not much of a photographer, but if you're interested, if you're on Instagram, you can follow me there, also at the Hanshin Tiger. So until next time, everybody, keep on cheering until Kanemoto is out of the dugout and wearing a suit in the front office. Have a good fortnight, everyone. Take it easy, Jake.
Take care, guys. Go Tigers.